Why? Just tell us why. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, August 21st, Trash Day. And so we're going to trash talk today. I'm not home to take the trash to the dump today, but it is Trash Day. And Wednesday, August 21st, 9:16 a.m. Central Standard Time. I know it's kind of late in the day for me to getting underway here. However, I'm actually in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was not expecting to be here today. I ended up having to get here late last night, via a very strange mode of just getting around that I ended up having to go through Fayetteville, Arkansas to get here, but I'm here. It's crazy, crazy world. I have, most likely I will be on the boat tomorrow morning, hopefully, if anything doesn't mess up. I'm actually going to be home tonight and then back on the boat tomorrow morning. So it's just been a crazy day today. I gotta get home later this afternoon, and then I'm still over the place. But I do have chai. I brought some chai with me. It's my old chai. This is my Pacific. What is it? Pacific chai. It's the chai latte vanilla flavored Pacific chai. Not my favorite. I got this new Big Train chai that I get on Amazon. I have to say I really like that stuff. I bought a whole bunch of it, and my wife didn't know where it was. I was keeping it in the basement because it's in these little. Looks like a gallon coffee container, whatever it is. It's this larger size coffee container type thing. It's a big can tin thing. I think every one of them makes like 60 cups or something. And so I got like a year's supply, and I put them all down in the basement. I have like 8 or 9 of these cans in a case, and I think it was eight of those cans. Well, these little Pacific chai things come in much smaller containers. They have a little bit more spice to them than I care for. The others are much more. These are gluten free, which is that's good because she can. But I think they have dairy in them, which she can't take. They're nice size for taking on traveling. Of course, I can always take the bigger cans and fill up these little cans anyway. But that's beside the point. With me this morning. I have the specific vanilla chai and chai latte, and I have just some generic creamer from the hotel room here. Because I have no other way to, I looked all over the hotel for like. Sometimes they have free coffee in the lobby. There was no free coffee in the lobby, and so I just wanted was some creamer, like some French vanilla or something different. And there was nothing like that, so I just used this powdered creamer, which is okay. It's okay. I'm getting by. In my backup cup, I have nothing. I don't even have water this morning. I thought I had water in my bag, and apparently I did not grab a water. on my way here. So I have no water. This is all I've got. I had a good breakfast this morning. I had plenty of water and sweet tea. By the way, Dilly's Diner here in Tulsa is actually a pretty decent place to, they're not sponsoring the show, of course, but a shout out to them. I did have good breakfast there. A little bit on the hipster kind of place. I don't think it's meant to be that way, but the people working there are definitely, the college more like the green-haired college-type folks, blue-haired, whatever. That seemed to be more the case there. A lot of nose rings and face stickers. I guess that's the new thing now, besides all the tattoos. I don't understand the whole tattoo thing. There's a lot of psychology behind tattooing yourself, and I know that there's a whole thing there. Some people who have lots of tattoos. I've seen some people who have gotten so many tattoos that they get to the point where you can't even see what the tattoos are. Like they put tattoos over their tattoos, and it's almost like an addiction. And it's their whole arm is just green. There's nothing there anymore. You can't make out any of the tattoos, and it's just it's really sad. And I most of the people I've talked to, especially people with tattoos all over their face, when you have a moment to talk to them, personally. On a more person to person level, what you typically find out is that they are, it's like an addiction to them, and they're very, they do it because they're insecure. It's an insecurity thing. There's a lot of anxiety behind it. It gives them some kind of a dopamine thing or whatever is going on with them. But it's very interesting psychology behind the whole thing. So I'm not sure about what's going on with that, but there's just seems to be a whole generation, a couple generations now of just extreme tattoos, and it's that you have to tattoo your body to, you know, to fit in. Now I'm seeing older folks doing this as well. Many of them, because their kids will get a tattoo, so I'll get a tattoo with you. Let's get a tattoo together because, you know, we want to be best friends. It's because that's not what parenting is, folks. That's but apparently some people think that it is. You know, you have to be best friends in order to be parents, I guess. Yeah. I think you lose something when you try to go down that road about it's I mean, the relationship between me and my parents was very special, and there was nothing abusive, nothing weird about it. It's just, but I wouldn't say that they were my best friends. I would say it went beyond being my friends. They were my parents. That's deeper, in fact, than being friends. The idea that you're going to be friends with your kids, you can be friendly. I mean, it's different. It's a deeper relationship than just friends. And I want to make sure I'm clear on that. There's nothing wrong with having a mature co-relationship with your children, or in kind of interdependence kind of thing. That's nothing wrong with that. That's not, it goes beyond friendship. I'm not one to speak, and I'm not going to speak as an authority on this. I don't have kids, so I'm not going to go there. The mystery to me is that how you can raise kids that I don't know how anybody makes it through all that, because I've been told by so many people that, you know, when they're young, they break your back. When they're old, they break your heart. They're also the biggest blessing you'll ever have. I am in full respect of all parents, except for those who abuse their kids. But whatever you got to do. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm an expert on parenting. That's for sure. But I had one, and I had a very good example of what a good parent is. And both my parents. So I'm not going to say that for any minute that I'm not just absolved of my understanding and knowledge of what a good parent is. Okay, at least I think I had good parents. I don't know. I haven't been to prison yet. I don't know. I've been fairly productive most of my life. I owe 99% of that to my parents. Well, 100% if you include the fact that they conceived me. I don't know. Even though they didn't expect me, they weren't expecting me. I kind of came along late, and they were kind of surprised, I think. Anyway, we have so many things going on with the DNC convention in Chicago. A lot of things are being said. I guess Pete Buttigieg, I haven't heard the whole thing, but I've heard a little bit about this little deal he got into, a little scuffle, I guess, with somebody on Fox. Talking about, and the question is, and I, this question still has yet to be answered. We have a president right now, and he probably gave his last speech that he will ever give at the DNC. He might give another one as they're passing the torch in January, something between that. You know, I'm sure if Donald Trump wins the election, it's going to be all kinds of weird speeches, and of course Kamala Harris is going to be the one out front in all of that. Now, I believe that Donald Trump is not going to be the 47th. I don't believe Donald Trump is going to be the 47th president. Let's put that way right now. I don't think he is. I think there's a 90% chance that he's not going to be the 47th president. Is that shocking? Here's why. I believe he's going to be the 48th president, because Kamala Harris is somehow, they're going to take Joe out. They're going to have Joe step down. And It's either going to be before or after the election. It could be in October. This could be the October surprise where he steps down. There's this big fanfare. Again, they get the momentum back up. Oh, look at, you know, she's now the president. I think this is part of their plan. I really, if I were a Democrat, not knowing them the way I do, because I learned so much from the school of Rush Limbaugh, and this is part of their plan. Now, there's many, many different things that can happen between now and November. There's something called a Black Swan event, which is a major thing, which much like we had in 2020 with COVID. COVID was what I would call a gray swan event, where it was disruptive. It changed a lot of, you know, we had to voluntarily do certain things. We had to, you know, shelter in place, whatever that means, from a virus. We had to sit inside and stay away from the virus that's out there in the air, which is actually BS, because going out and going for a jog was one of the best things you could do to beat the virus, but everybody was stuck inside where the virus can get you. It's just stupid. The science was not there. Trust the science. Well, there was no science. And it talked to any leftist during that time, and they were all about wearing a mask and wearing two masks and all this other stuff that was going on. And I was surprised at the number of people who it really brought, I guess, it was kind of like boiling certain chemicals so they know the impurities come to the top. And you really saw people for who they were. This is the ridiculousness of it all, and the amazingly to me was how people complied so quickly. And if that would have been a vaccine that actually was a vaccine, it would have stopped the thing dead in its tracks. Now, what we were told was that it was a vaccine that was going to stop it dead in its tracks. And here's the statement. When I started hearing them say these kinds of things, like, if the unvaccinated shouldn't be allowed to go out and do things in town, and how'd they put it? And endanger those who are vaccinated. Excuse me. This is like saying people wearing life jackets, you shouldn't be jumping in the water without a life jacket because people who have life jackets are threatened by that. How does that work? And of course, you have to wear a mask, or the person who's also wearing a mask, their mask isn't effective unless you're wearing a mask. Same kind of logic behind that whole thing. If the mask is so good at protecting yourself, just wear the mask. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody that's not wearing a mask. If the person's not vaccinated, if you're vaccinated, why are you concerned about the person who's not vaccinated? This is the kind of hysteria and just lack of logic, lack of just reasonable critical thinking that we had during this time. And it blows my mind that people were, and I'm susceptible to it as well. I can go down those roads. Don't get me wrong. I'm a human being, but there's a point of critical thinking. And I think I was shouted down at one point when I said natural immunity. I said this to some people. Natural immunity is usually the best immunity to any virus. And I was shouted down with, no, it's not. Because somehow this vaccine is supposed to be so much. By the way, Anthony Fauci, the reason I bring this up is because Anthony Fauci has been diagnosed with COVID once again, along with, you know, Joe Biden just had it a couple weeks ago, supposedly.
Supposedly.
We have Anthony Fauci now. Interesting that he got it about the same time Joe got it. I wonder if they were in the same room together. You know, who knows what's going on there? They were discussing something about the next virus, this next outbreak, this bird flu, or whatever it's going to be that's going to hit us. So that this Black Swan thing the Black Swan thing could be something much more serious than COVID. We're talking an entire quote, attack on our energy grid, which is that's one thing that's being kicked around. There's all kinds of things that could happen to us, that the power grid could go down for a couple weeks, not just for a day, for a couple weeks. The entire internet could go down. All kinds of things that can happen. Think about how many things that depend on the internet right now. It becomes ridiculous when you stop and think about it. Travel, all kinds of things that affects transportation, travel, shipping. How that would affect our country, and of course, we would be basically in the dark for some time. And because of that, they would, of course, institute and implement all kinds of different. And all of a sudden, we come out on the other side of November 5th or whatever it is, November 4th, 5th, whatever the day is that we're supposed to be voting, after the election. And miraculously, Kamala Harris has 200 million votes. You know, the whole thing that we have going on here is, or they might cancel the elections or postpone them. Who knows what they're going to do? That's always a possibility, too. We'll have to cancel the elections. Because they want an uprising. They know that at some point they can only push us so far, and we're going to, you know, the stick is going to hurt, and American people are going to turn around and do something. And of course, they're going to. It's not going to be fun. There's a lot of people out there that are itching to get into a civil war, and we need to exhaust everything we can prior to that. I don't think people understand how crazy things would get. I've even talked to some people who say, "Oh no, it wouldn't take that long. It wouldn't be that bad." Oh my goodness, I don't underestimate these people that are in power, that are at the helm right now. So we have a lot of craziness going on. We have potential of a black swan event. Now, Pete Buttigieg was being interviewed by this guy and was talking about Joe Biden. He wouldn't give an answer. The real question, and he really needed to hold his feet to the fire. He tried to get him to answer the question about why did Joe Biden step down? If Joe Biden is such a good president, if he was, he won with 81 million votes, 10 million more than anybody's ever gotten before. And we're supposed to believe, and of course, the whole issue for me has been never in the history of our country, never has there been a time when 100% of the people who were registered to vote have voted. And this was in 2020, we had a greater number of people voted than there were registered to vote. It's never happened before. Donald Trump got more votes than any Republican candidate ever in the history of country and still lost by millions of votes. If this does not look suspicious to you, if this doesn't look like something screwy happened here, just right on its face. And right away, of course, we had all the people saying, "Oh, there's no widespread vote, no evidence of any voter fraud." And then, of course, widespread voter fraud. Well, any voter fraud that would have affected the election. And then it became, well, the election's over and you got to accept the results. So, here we are heading into another election season. There's this thing called Republicans for Kamala that's out there. And some of these people that are pretending to be people who voted for Donald Trump prior to, before. They even got some people who worked in his administration. Now, those people are real, but there were plenty of deep state folks. There were plenty of establishment folks who were stuck around and worked in the Republican, they were in the part of the establishment Republicans that were around Trump the first time. I think Trump has learned his lesson on that. How do you weed those people out? It's a good question, but they've got to do that because those people are weasels. They're snakes. Now they're, Mike Steele, head of the RNC, head of the Republican National Committee, is now a major supporter of the Democrat Party. How do you do that? How do you go there from that extreme? You know, you see people like Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, and there's many more that are that way. They're establishment Republicans. They don't like Trump. They'll go along to get along to get elected, and then behind the scenes they're working against him in every step of the way. And this is just happening. They cut deals with the Democrats. They do all this kind of stuff because it's a uniparty behind the scenes, and that's what we have to fight against right now. Now, I want to get down to this thing. I was going to talk about this, and I think I mentioned it yesterday. I really want to talk a little bit about the issue of the Republican Party and some of the gripes that I have with it. And because we're going into this election cycle, and again, it's all about, you know, Tampon Tim. It's all about cackling Kamala and all the name calling and everything that's going on. What we need is a Republican Party that steps up. Now, the J.D. Vance is doing an excellent job of educating the American people, but we really need a Ron Paul-esque type person who understands freedom and liberty and the Constitution. Ron Paul is, shall we say, beyond his prime. Now, he's still an incredibly, for his age, he is still incredibly articulate. And I think he has a show every day, has a podcast every day, still doing that. The thing that the Republican Party needs to adopt and really maintain is this understanding that, hey, the public school system is not educating our children. We need to do that. We need to make sure that the American people, the young American people, as they're growing up, understand the framing of our Constitution, the reasons for its construction, why and how it was constructed, and what the principles behind it, the ideology behind it, because we're not doing that. And people do not understand this concept of individual liberty and the responsibility that goes along with that liberty. Right, for a long time, I tagged all of my emails at the bottom and said, with great liberty comes great responsibility. Another tagline I had for a while was, a truly sovereign nation is a nation made up of truly sovereign individuals. Now, I'm not a what I would call a part of the sovereign man movement, which actually started in, people say it started in America. It actually did not start here. It started in Canada. There was a thing in Canada called free man on the land, meaning that you could walk anywhere you wanted to. You were free to roam anywhere you wanted to on the land, especially on government property, but anywhere in public property or anywhere in public or on an easement, that you had the right to roam anywhere you wanted to. Now, you could even roam on private property if that property wasn't posted or if you had need for something to get to a certain place or whatever. You could be. The idea of this and the whole principle behind this is even the animals can trespass on your property. Now, of course, you have the right to shoot a varmint on your property, but birds and animals can be on your property, and that's not trespassing. And the idea that a man or a woman is somehow lower than an animal, it doesn't have that kind of right to be anywhere in public that it wants to be. Now, there are places in the country, and I didn't realize this, but my brother actually pointed this out to me many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago, because he worked in a park department, and he understood the concept of publicly owned land. We were in Hawaii, and we were messing around at the volcano area, and there were these park rangers that were there, and they said, you can't go beyond this point. I said, thanks, and kept on going. I said, well, wait, they just told us we couldn't go beyond this point. He said, well, they can't do anything to you. It's not actually a law. They can only tell you, they can only advise you. You go beyond this point, it's your own risk. And, you know, anywhere you go, it's at your own risk anyway in a public park. And he basically pointed out that there's no law unless they have it literally like chained off or somehow like fenced off. And even then, as long as you don't destroy the fence, if you can get around it or go under it, you're welcome to go through it. And they can't arrest you for that. They can ask you to leave. So it's one of those. It's a weird thing on government land, like especially I guess it's a U.S. government property, national parks. You can go anywhere you want. That's part of that whole free man on the land thing. In Canada, that's how it started. And of course, they, if you were walking anywhere in the street and just standing around doing whatever you're doing, and a police officer confronted you, you would just say, "I'm a free man on the land." You know, you don't have any business asking me any questions. There's a movement of doing that here in the States where, you know, people will get stopped doing something that they know they've done something wrong. They've been speeding, whatever they've been doing. Now, if it's a random checkpoint, like a sobriety checkpoint, that kind of thing, there's no probable cause. Those really are not constitutional at all. I don't have a problem with them. If they're getting drunks off the street, that's fine. But I'm going to pull up, and they're going to ask me any questions. So I'm going to say, "Am I free to go?" That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, "Am I free to go? Am I being detained?" They're conducting an investigation. It's an investigation for what crime have I committed? There is apparently some states have gone against the Constitution in this area. I think Arizona is one of them. There's this one officer who has an incredibly arrogant, combative, escalating attitude, and he has a YouTube channel. He does this stuff all the time. He's really proud of himself. He approaches somebody's car. He's got this cocky attitude, and he's obviously a particular he's certain orientation. Anyway, he approaches the cars very, very pushy, very belligerent. And this, you know, of course, people push back, and he says all the right things. These people push back. This guy said, "You know what?" He walks up to the car and asks for his ID. And the guy in the car says, "I'm not going to give you my ID unless you tell me what I've done. Have I committed a crime? Why have you pulled me over? I'll tell you after you show me your ID." Now, I guess that in Arizona State, that is considered compliance with the Constitution, because they've told you that they will tell you what you've done wrong after you show them your ID. I have a real serious problem with that. I can't believe that if that ever goes to the Supreme Court, that will pass muster. Because they're asking you to forfeit your property. It's the Fourth Amendment. I think it is the Fourth Amendment. The being secure in your property and your things. How do you get away with that? That's like when you walk up to somebody, say, "I need to see your ID. What have I done? I'll tell you after you show me your ID." Oh, and that's kind of like, "Show me the man, I'll show you the crime." And depending on who you are, we may, you know, do something else with you. That's the problem with that. And I just have a really serious issue with that. However, that's the way it is right now. In some states, in other states, they recognize, and the state I'm from, they don't do that at all. They have to approach you with probable cause, tell you why you're being stopped or why you're being detained, what kind of investigation is going on, if they're conducting an investigation, or if it's just for the officer's safety. There's some states now, some officers, some counties, some places, might even be some in Indiana, I don't know, but it's not a state issue, but they, especially certainly not in my county. My county's very pro individual rights. They will not. Especially if you're a citizen of that county, they will do everything they can to serve you. It is a pretty amazing. They've gotten into some problems there. There's one city, particular city, that had been under Democrat rule for a very long time. It's kind of a Democrat stronghold. It's kind of a baby to South Bend, and it's been pretty bad. They've even made some national news with some of the things that they've done there, because of some of the policies that have been put in place by the city. But the typically in my county, in fact, in our state, it is, if an officer breaks into your home and does not present the warrant properly, doesn't have a warrant, if they illegally enter your home, you have the right to shoot them. And you will not be, you're absolved of that. And my question has always been, how do you determine whether or not if this is a home invasion, people acting like law enforcement, or is it really law enforcement? Middle of the night, somebody breaks into your home and you raise a gun to shoot them. What are you supposed to do? Sit around and wait for them to shoot you, to tie you up, to handcuff you, and then find out you're being home invaded? I have a friend that who had one of his best friends in college. I didn't know the guy. However, this happened to him. Wasn't my friend, but his my friend's friend, guy he knew for a long time. He said some people busted into his house, claimed to be federal agents, handcuffed the guy, pushed him down into the corner, and then they had their way with his family and made him watch the whole thing. You talk about messing up your psychology for the rest of your life. And I think it's because of cases like that that police just need to do their job. They can't just be thugs and bust in and under the name of we're here to, being almost vigilantes in some ways. It just doesn't work. We just can't do that. They have to do their job, work around the rights, take the time, let the wheels of justice should grind very slowly, because we don't want to quickly, mistakenly incarcerate someone. Let the court system work. So, that's the way it should be in an ideal world anyway. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's the way it is. That's the danger you have of having respect for individual rights. Sometimes the individual gets away with something for a while. They probably won't forever. So, having said all of that, as I go back to the whole issue of why did Joe step down? We have not had a real answer to this yet. He steps down because he was forced to step down. The Democrats will not admit to this. They will not tell us the details of what changed his mind. We have no idea. I mean, we have an idea, but it's all speculation at this point. There's been no clear reason given other than it's time to pass the torch. Well, it wasn't 24 hours ago. You were beating on the table telling us that you were running, and that was all there was to it. You were very adamant and animated about it. Now all of a sudden you've changed. And of course, now there was all this stuff going on behind the scenes. Now there is still a civil war going on behind the scenes, and all you see is the nicey theatrics of Joe is a wonderful person. We're going to cry about how wonderful Joe was and everything he's done for the country, as they paraded him around in front of the DNC on Monday, the first night. And now I think the Obamas came out last night. I think they're supposed to come out again, I think, and make another speech. Hillary Clinton came out and made a speech. Funny, I don't see Bill on the docket anywhere. Bill was a former president. He's still alive. Why aren't they parading him around up there? Oh, yeah, that's right, because he is a known rapist. And he took advantage of at least one intern that we know of in the Oval Office, which now, of course, the Democrats would condemn. But at the time, that's what he does is his own business. That was okay then, back then. Now, of course, that wouldn't be okay. Donald Trump is the pig now. Have you ever heard Robert De Niro come out and say that Bill Clinton is a pig? No, you've never heard that. Donald Trump just talked about what celebrities can get away with. People like Bill Clinton. Because they use the power of their influence to manipulate children, which I believe Monica Lewinsky, even though she was of age, she was still a child. He took advantage of her. There's no question about that. He manipulated her, whatever. And yet, I've never heard De Niro come out and say that Bill Clinton was a pig. Multiple women while he was married. And they pretend and they parade around like everything's just fine between them. And, oh, it's just they have just a wonderful marriage. And she's just a wonderful person. He's a wonderful president. He was the best president we've ever had, next to Barack Obama, the Messiah himself. It's just the emotional rhetoric. I've tried to listen to a lot of the speeches, and all I'm hearing is rah, rah, rah. I'm not hearing anything about policies. And this one crazy issue, Kamala just recently came out with, oh, I'm going to give everybody that wants to buy a home $25,000. Ah, blah, blah. Hey. Let's just start throwing money around. It's just, if you vote for me, I'm going to give you all this. I'm going to give you a house. I'm going to give you we're going to cure cancer for you. This is the kind of stuff that they spew out there all the time. And Kamala was asked point blank by a reporter, said, how are you going to pay for this? How are you going to pay for this program? Well, you know, when people have this and people have that, and then there's more tax, you know, base, and there's whatever, blah, blah, blah. She didn't have an answer. Her answer was not a non-answer. It was like this. She explains what it is that she's doing. She doesn't say how it's going to pay. The question was, how are you going to pay for this? And of course, the answer was, I'm not sure what my watch is doing for me here. She doesn't answer questions like that. How are you gonna reduce inflation? Well, you know, things are more expensive now, and people have had to stretch. You know, the price of food has gone up. Yeah, what are you gonna do? Well, they finally came up with an answer for that. We're going to go after price gouging. In other words, we're gonna put caps on prices. This has never worked. This has never been good. This is communism. This is government controlling the means of production. It crosses the line into that area when you start capping prices. When the airlines were capped with certain prices, all you saw was every airline charged the maximum cap on their price. There was no competition anymore. Strangely enough, airlines kept operating and seats were not full. And it was only the big airlines that made it. There weren't any low-cost airlines out there then, not like there are now. And the prices on things are pretty much relatively affordable now. Unless you want to fly first class, last minute first class, just buy a first class ticket, you're looking at ridiculous amounts of money to go somewhere. Well, probably sometimes 10 times more than it costs you to go on Southwest or Spirit or something like that. And you don't get 10 times the service, folks. You just don't. It's say what you will about Spirit and Southwest and JetBlue and some of the other economy airlines. I'm sorry, but you're still going to get from point A to point B, probably with your bags. And for the money you're going to spend on the extra ticket to go first class on a legacy carrier, you are probably better off not having any bags and just buying everything you need on the other end and still come out money ahead. And you could literally throw it away on the other side or give it to the homeless shelter and then just walk away, and you're still cheaper than what you would cost first class ticket to get there, point A to point B, with the same outcome in that hour and a half flight or whatever you're taking. If you can't take an hour and a half out of your life to save yourself $1,500, I guess maybe your economy is a little different than mine. And sadly, the problem there is, I can afford it. But I'm not paying that. And the reason I can afford it is because I don't pay that kind of thing, pay for that kind of crap. It's the Dave Ramsey thing is, you know, you live like no one else so that when you're older, you can live like no one else. It's this whole idea that, and you can save up all your money for a rainy day and whatever. Just all kinds of other stuff. Folks, I see it's time for me to end this conversation. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening, for subscribing. God bless. Have a great day.